This is Sunday Drive on the VOCM Bigland FM radio network. The views and opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of this station. Now here's your host for Sunday Drive, Daryl Power.
Come on, you good people. I'll sing you a song about the poor people, how they get along. Good afternoon to everybody out there in Radio Land, right across the island portion of this province and up there in the big land of Labrador. It's here, folks, the May 2-4 weekend, the one you've all been waiting for, the one that each and every year, we say this is it, this is going to be the year of great weather. But you remember Einstein, folks. Einstein says the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. How often do we get the rain, the drizzle, the fog, the cold? For some people, the snow. But I sent a little Facebook message out, and there are people camping this weekend. Weather is not stopping them. Of course, some of the town is not too fussy on it. But what we're going to do today is something a little bit different. I am just going to Team Broken Earth, and I'll give you some more details about the play names as the show goes on. But they have a couple of plays coming up as a fundraiser at the, I believe it's the D.F. Cook Recital Halls from May 27th to the 31st. So that starts next Monday. And why go see one play when you get the chance to see two? Two top quality productions in one room in one night. You get the chance to feel good from A, watching theater. Feel good from B, donating money to a great cause. If you are camping this weekend, if you have any special memories of May 2-4 camping from long, long ago, throw it out on the table. All you got to do, call in, take a few minutes, and tell us about your favorite camping memories or where you're camping this weekend. And one lucky winner is going to end up with two of those tickets to see that production. It's definitely going to be a bit of fun today. I didn't go out. I can't remember the last time I camped on 2-4 weekend. When you're kids. You know, but my favorite May 2-4 weekend is, I'm sure, is Terranova Park. Appetite for Destruction had just been released. That wasn't yesterday. Ghetto Blasters were all the rave. Someone had a copy of it on cassette. Yes, cassette. And we basically followed that guy around with the Ghetto Blaster all weekend. That wasn't yesterday indeed. But people still love camping. And as a matter of fact, we already have one caller. Sipping my coffee there, sorry about that. Should have put it on mute. Who is still enjoying the camping as a trooper. And I'm looking at the name here and I'm like, is this a blast from the past? Is this my first producer for Nightlong for Once Upon a Time? We're going to find out. By the way, my producer today, first time in the driver's seat, all by himself, producer extraordinaire, Mr. Zach Snow, is taking this on all by himself. Let's go to line one and talk to Jordan Keating. Jordan Keating?
Good afternoon, Daryl.
That's the voice. Jordan, what's up, buddy?
Enjoying the snow.
Enjoying the snow. How many crazy nights do we have here in Nightline, first of all?
Way too many.
You taught me the ropes. That wasn't yesterday, was it?
No, it wasn't. What was it? Four or five years ago, at least.
How you been? I'm sure a lot of people are saying, is that Jordan? That's not little Jordan.
No, it's not me. Poor, there's Paddy Daly's young fella, sir.
Jordan, you manned the Nightline phones for quite a while.
About 7 years, I think it was.
And what I love about no matter what the program, there's people who call in, never go on the air, never want to go on the air, but love to have a chat with the producers.
Yes, they certainly do.
Do
there's
they?
There's a lot of backstory that doesn't make it on the air.
There is. Now listen. So
you make friends too.
You're still camping on May 24th weekend. Do you still do it every year?
Some years, depends on the forecast.
Well, listen.
I actually camped last weekend, too. It was absolutely beautiful compared to this weekend. Friday wasn't bad, but it was snowing this morning.
Where'd you camp?
Marine Park, down Pooch Cove.
Oh, yeah, that's nice and nice. So close and not so far.
25 minutes away from the house, and, you know, I can still make it to Costco to get propane and be back before the fire goes out.
All right, camper, tent, what'd you go for?
Camper. I'll never sleep in a tent again. I remember probably 10 years ago, May 2-4 weekend, me and two of my buddies went down to Mobile. and we camped in the tent. We were in the tent probably to go to sleep for about, I'd say about 45 minutes, and we froze to death. We all got in the truck and turned the heat on blast and slept in the truck all night and went home.
Yes, I know. Remember the old days? People come in, like, the person who takes the chance, they got 4 dozen beer, they got a ground sheet, they got a Dominion bag full of Vienna sausages, and they figure they'll get it, because they got a ground sheet, they'll get a spot to sleep in the tent somewhere.
Not the case.
Was there a crowd down there?
I was blocked down there this year. So, there's 400 seasonal sites that are full in the summer, and pretty much all of them were full this weekend.
Wow. I haven't been down there in ages. 400?
It's huge. It's a huge city.
It's really expanded.
Yeah, in the last 4 or 5 years, they've expanded over 300 extra campsites, and there's still more to come. He's building tenting sites and everything here. He's got the water slide, the park. He's got the liquor store, a Greco. There's everything down here you need. It's perfect for townies.
So do you stay there for the summer, or do you just poke in and poke out?
No, I have a year-round site. I keep camper down here year-round. I don't take it out of here. I stay here, and I'm faithful to the park.
Nice. You got kids now? Yes, do you?
I do, yeah.
So how old?
16-month-old. 16-month-old, and he loves it.
Oh, yes, I know, but too young to be jumping on a bike and riding the loop.
Yeah, he is, but he gets to enjoy the beach in the summer. He enjoyed it last year. It was a little too small to go swimming down in the water, but this year, hopefully, he'll enjoy it. You know, and there's lots of kids' activities. You know, there's all kinds of things for toddlers. There's a lot of kids down in the park. This is a pretty family-friendly park.
So there's last night around 1 o'clock in town, it was motley. Raindrops, freezing cold raindrops, bouncing off the road and like bouncing back up near 3 inches. It was just teeming. So, like, what are people doing in the rain? Is there, like, some elaborate tarp setups down there? Are they hanging inside in campers? What are they doing?
Well, a lot of people are inside the campers last night, but there's a recreation center. We all went down there last night and had a little celebration for the former owner of the park who passed away this year. But after that, everybody went their merry way. But we took our awning on our camper, brought it out, and we tarped around it earlier in the day because it was calling for heavy rain, and we actually had like a little setup made that the rain and the wind couldn't get into us. So we sat around, started the barbecue off, and enjoyed the rest of the night till it got light this morning.
So, translation, because you had to set up, you ended up attracting the neighbors.
Yeah. Yeah. We had a good barbecue. They smelled the steak from a mile away. Missus got the jigs on the go now. Well, everybody's going to end up coming over in about 2 hours.
And that's it, because, like, I mean, a lot of people, well, I suppose, was there many people in tents down there this weekend?
I didn't see any, to be honest with you.
Yep.
I don't know if there was. If they are, they're crazy. I think Butterpot is more of a tenting campground too, right? This is more of an RV and trailer camper.
It is. Maybe we'll hope to hear from someone from some of the other provincial parks today
I wonder if anybody's crazy enough. I know I was when I was younger.
Yeah, I know. We all did it when we were younger, right? Someone pointed out, I think it was on Twitter, they said that I spent May 24th in a tent until I was old enough to drink at a bar.
That's true. That makes sense. I should have done that. If I was still single, maybe I would.
Well, you remember the year after year you go and you keep hoping beyond hope that this is going to be the year for the weather. And there's always that one nasty day that sort of sticks in between, yeah. You know, whether it's the Saturday or the Sunday. It's too bad. It's never, I mean, Monday is not so bad. Get up, get packed, get out, right? Mm. But anyway, I can't believe, so listen, tell me, you said the owner of the park passed away? Tell me about this person.
The former owner, Fred Snow, him and his son started the park, I think it was 96, they started it. And anyway, he passed away there a couple of weeks ago, and they just had a celebration there last night.
So what happened during the celebration?
I can't talk about that. Are we allowed to talk about that on the air? There was a lot of bottles passed around.
Oh, it wasn't a sort of somber event. It was a more...
No, God, no. No, it was a celebration of his life, I guess you could call it.
How old was he, Jordan?
I'm not sure. I think he was in the 70s.
Timeless.
I honestly wouldn't be able to tell you.
So did he have a spot down there as well?
Well, the guy who owns the park now, Dave, his son, actually lives in the park pretty much all the summer. He stays there, he runs it, him and his girlfriend, their team of staff. They're amazing, actually. It's actually a great park. It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
it's great for children.
It's nice to get...
That's what attracted me.
It is nice to get out of, you know, your own house, get the smell of house off you, and sometimes the packing is a pain in the butt, It can be, but once you get out and you get set up and you have that, breathe that sigh of relief, you know, you really do get to relax, which few of us do in this world today.
Exactly. I don't have much time for it, but this year I said I was going to make time. My son's getting a little older, you know. If dad's gone away all summer, well, he's not going to get to know him. You know, in summer, for the business I'm in now, is summer's where it thrives, you know, with tourism and stuff. And I said this year I'm going to try to make it down every weekend, maybe even during the week, stay down there.
Listen, to tourism business, because I got a couple of calls, or at least one other call about it. What's your sense of what this season's going to be like in terms of tourism?
I think it's going to be fantastic. And even around the island, you got your touristy areas in town, around the island, and towns. Like, I think Bonavista, I don't know if you know the story behind John Norman, the mayor out there now, and his business.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's going to be a booming spot.
Yeah, lots. I got a call out to Bonavista before today is out, because when you think about summer and you think about tourism, Bonavista hits the radar every single time. So you said the jigs will be ready in 2 hours, and that I'll be finished show by then. So what else should I do? Just go down to Marine Drive Park, circle till I smell the jigs, and then knock on the door.
You'll smell from 10 miles away, I'd say.
Jordan, what, we haven't spoken in bloody years. What a great, little fresh breath of air it is to chat with you again.
You know, a long-time listener, first-time caller.
I know.
I never used to call up, but as soon as you said May 2-4, I said, I got to call him.
It's funny because you're usually, I'm used to yelling in my ear from the studio out the other side, not from the phone down in Marine Drive Park. Take care, buddy.
Take a break.
I know. That's what Zach's telling me now. Take care, bud. Really appreciate it.
We'll see you, buddy.
Okay, bye-bye. That's Jordan Keating, former producer of Nightline and the jack of all trades when he was here. If you have if you're still out camping, you camped this weekend, went to the cabin this weekend, call in, give us a quick call. Just has to be a minute if you want. Let us know where you are and get a chance to see two fantastic plays next week at the DF Cook Recital. The DF Cook Recital Hall, brought to you by Team Broken Earth. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
Call now, 273-5211 or 1-888-590-8626. That's 1-888-590-VOCM. Your Sunday drive continues right after this. This is Sunday Drive on the VOCM Bigland FM radio network.
The Sunday Drive with Daryl Power on VOCM is brought to you by Robothan Mackay and Marshall. Injured? Robothan Mackay and Marshall can help. Make the call today.
Welcome back to the show. When Newfoundland was first settled, it was a lot earlier than we think. We think about the 1497, but of course it was inhabited by Indigenous people all over Newfoundland and Labrador. Immigration was mainly of English and Irish and Scottish descent for the most part. I suppose during the 20th century, a little bit more trickled in, but we really have a situation today where this province is becoming more and more diverse. One person who actually is of Pakistani descent, who was grown up in Newfoundland, really felt at home, really felt welcome here so much, he decided to make a film about it. With the pun, Salamba, I have Atif Baskandiri on the line, and we're going to talk about his brand new project, which is coming to the province for some screenings. Atif, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. You are a very interesting character. Like, I don't know of many people who went to the London School of Economics and still also do filmmaking in their part-time.
Yeah, this is sort of something completely on the side. Definitely not my day job.
Yeah.
My wife is a doctor. I'm an engineer. We're not filmmakers by any rights, but we just decided to tell this story.
I should Google London School of Economics filmmakers, and yours is probably the only name that will pop up. Atif, tell me about your childhood in Newfoundland. Where did you grow up?
Yeah, so I was born in Sarnia, Ontario, and I moved to Clanroe, Newfoundland when I was 5 years old. My dad, he started working at the Come By Chance Refinery there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we lived in Clanroe since I was five. But then I had a fantastic life in primary school in Clarenville, of course, connected to the entire community, spent my nights out there playing spotlight, playing in the woods, doing all that sort of thing. You know, the entire community knew us. We knew the entire community as one big, happy family. And then 5 years later, when I was just finishing grade five, my dad got laid off from his position at the refinery. I guess the price of oil dropped at the time, and he got laid off. And we ended up leaving Newfoundland, like many Newfoundlanders do, for a few years. But ultimately, we got to return. I got to come back a few years later and finish up my high school in Clarenville and back to my same group of friends, the exact same home, and then went on to Memorial University. And it was something that I just had this fantastic connection with the community of Newfoundland, and that's something that we try to highlight in the story. How is it that me, this little brown Muslim kid growing up in Newfoundland where no one looked like me, believed in the same things as me, however, I felt completely a part of the community, and if anything, my community empowered my differences. They empowered me to be Muslim, and they really appreciated it, and that actually kind of built some foundations in me to kind of go on and do other things in my life, whether it's my education, my career, finding my wife, all sorts of things. So I give a lot of that credit to Newfoundland.
The phrase that I keep hearing bandied about lately, which I love, is melanin rich. Right? Right?
Yeah.
Which I love that phrase. It's pretty. So, but what's so interesting is the fact that in what, you know, when you think how many years, like you, how old are you now?
I'm 34.
34. So at the time when you moved to Clarenville, I imagine there was not enough to have a party of more than the size of your family of people of Pakistani descent. But instead of feeling a feeling of being different, you actually, it seems like from the get-go, which I love, is you felt a sense of belonging.
Yeah, and that was a big piece of just the community around me, is I had this ability just to be myself, be my own identity, and the community accepted me for it. I know sometimes people feel like in order to have a sense of belonging, they have to like mold their identity to fit into everyone else, but I was different, and my community really appreciated that. And because they kind of appreciated those differences, that's what really gave me this strong sense of belonging to Newfoundland.
I had a chat with someone just yesterday who was basically saying the same thing, that she went, this is a Prajwala, she went from the idea that she had to change and maybe change her name to Praj, which is something a little more hip, you know, to realizing that she needed to be true to herself and just be herself in order to feel that sense of belonging. And that's really the way it is.
Yeah, and to be honest, it's very much a privilege that I had. I mean, when my parents immigrated to Canada in the 70s, for most new immigrants, sometimes they feel like, you know, you can't really be yourself. You got to try to fit in, keep your head down, don't speak up too much, don't try to amplify your differences. But when I was in Newfoundland, we were just purely ourselves, and we lived through our differences, and the entire community would love it. They would really embrace it. When it came to just like even me being Muslim and some of my practices, I know everyone in Newfoundland, we talk about Newfoundland having like a big drinking culture, for example. And there
not for
was
you.
At the university, I didn't drink a drop, and all my friends loved it. And I think my friends' parents loved it even more because they're like, you're hanging out with autistic, that's good. You know, he's going to be sensible tonight. But they would really appreciate those things about me.
I called you a thief. It's autistic. I'm sorry about that. Because I suppose they did love it. They had a designated driver 24/7. My God, you're late for the party. So listen, you are always welcome here, and so many other people are welcome here, what I like to call the new Newfoundland. Tell me about the idea for the film, how it came about, and what you did.
Yeah, so my wife and I are very big on this idea of like representation and storytelling. And to be completely honest, and as you might see, when it comes to particular minorities, they're typically reduced down to like a single story or a stereotype of who they are. And then based off of that stereotype, people can create all sorts of biases against them. And of course, nowadays we're seeing lots of like rampant Islamophobia that's out there and certain representations of Muslims that are out there. And I wrote this story for two reasons. Number one, I want to kind of disrupt this idea of the single story of what it is to be a Muslim. But I also want to disrupt this idea of what it was to be from rural Canada. Because at the same time that I saw people started to spread Islamophobia, I started to see people say, oh, you're from a rural community in Canada, you must be racist. Or if you speak with an accent, you're from a small community, then you're probably backwards. And I was like, well, you know what? Like, I grew up in a small community in Newfoundland, and I didn't really see that. So I really want to highlight both of these stories through my story of just, and I just try to be true to my own story. So I just kind of, it all started from a Facebook post in June of 2017. It was a pretty long post, and it ended up going a bit viral. And then from there, my wife and I and my parents, we did a speaking tour where we went to 7 towns in 11 days, driving over 2,000 kilometers in a ferry ride over to Belle Island, where we spoke at schools, libraries, and museums about my story growing up in Newfoundland. And then at the same time, we actually crowdfunded to make the film. So we ended up raising $15,000 from 230 donors from 19 different countries to make this film. So we got a film team to join us, and our director is an amazing guy named Amar Awala from Toronto. He's absolutely brilliant. And they joined us for 3 of the stops on the tour, and that's where the film came from. And since we released the film in January of 2018, we've been doing film festivals across the United States, across Canada. We got into the United Nations. We're one of 2 Muslim Canadian films to get into the United Nations Film Festival, which actually allowed us to screen internationally in places like Iraq, Bulgaria, Romania, Cyprus. So like 2018 was an amazing year for film festivals, and we won some awards. And this year, what we're trying to do is what we call the Creating Communities of Kindness Tour. And we're trying to kind of flip. I mean, my wife and I very much work in the social justice field, and we're trying to just show, like, you know, when we talk about social justice, we have to deal with the challenges, and sometimes we have to deal with the broken systems that are out there. But we have to look at, like, okay, well, how is it that we can make better systems? And that's what we're hoping, that when we talk about kindness and empathy, that can be a tool to create better communities and better societies. So we're traveling around Canada right now on this film tour. We're having more deeper conversations with communities.
I can see you, like, just I popped on your website there, and see rolling across from the west, places like Saskatoon, Halifax, Charlottetown. But we finally get to see the fruits of your labor here in the province. Tell us about the 2 dates and where people are going to be lucky enough to see this film for the first time.
Yeah, I'm really excited. So fortunately, we screened the film at the Nickel Film Festival last year. So that was like the one screening that happened in St. John's. But since then, we haven't done any big screening. So this is like the next big screening that we're doing. And it's going to be on Wednesday, May 29th in the evening at 7 o'clock at The Rooms. And we're going to be doing a show there where we're going to have some special guests, some local speakers. Myself and my wife will be there to share a story. And we're also going to have a reception that is actually sponsored by the professional engineers and geoscientists of Newfoundland and Labrador, because a big part of my story is I'm an engineer by background, and we talk about the connection between being an engineer and diversity and inclusion and what that means for innovation. So we're going to have a fantastic time at The Rooms on May 29th, and then we're actually driving up to taking a ferry to Fogo Island and doing a show there on May 31st, the Friday in the evening at the Town Hall in Jobat's Arm. So we've been working with teachers in Newfoundland to help us build our educator's guide for the film. And one of our biggest champions and lead teachers on that is actually a guy named Trevor Taylor from Fogo Island. And he has been an amazing person. I've done a Skype session with his class, where I'm based in Calgary right now, so I had to wake up at 5 a.m. in the morning to do a Skype session with his class. But we're just going to come there to Fogo Island to just show some love in person.
Well, listen, you have been showing love all over Canada and the world for this province, so I have got to thank you for that. I got to give a official shout-out to Clarendonville for being so far ahead of its time and embracing everyone who lives in their community. It's a great story. It's a great film, I bet, and I'm really glad we had this conversation.
Yeah, thanks so much, and hope to see everyone out there.
Absolutely. I'll try and make it there myself. Looking forward to it. Take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye. That's Atif Bhaskandari. The film is Salambai, and it's going to be at the Rooms and at Fogo Island. You can check it out, Salambai. Yes, it is the pun, B-apostrophe-Y. We will talk soon right after this.
Call now, 273-5211, or 1-888-590-8626. That's 1-888-590-VOCM. Your Sunday drive continues right after this. This is Sunday Drive on the VOCM Bigland FM radio network.
Welcome back to the show. There's always little public service announcements. Sometimes I like to toss them out. The ones that I find, that sort of rise to the surface. And folks, if you are in near the area of the Legion on Black Marsh Road, the 30-plus singles club is having a Western-themed dance on Friday, May 24th at 9 p.m. at the Legion. Put your hat and boots on and get your Western boogie on. It's only $5 for members, $10 for non-members. All Saints Parish Foxtrot are having a luncheon and card game Thursday, May 23rd, starting at 12:30. Afternoon one, nice one. Meal will be chicken breast with the trimmings, dessert and tea, card game to follow. You want to be on a full stomach, that should keep the scraps down to a minimum. The cost is $15 single. Tickets can be bought at the door. Now, we had talked about tourism a little while, touched on it earlier. Well, if there's one thing you notice and I notice about the social media picks this year is the icebergs. Oh my gosh, what a banner year for icebergs. I've reached out to Bob Curry. Bob Curry is the boss, the man, the captain, the skipper of Discovery Sea Adventure Tours out in Bonavista, where tourism season is also already in a little bit of a swing, thanks to the glorious beasts that are descending from the north. Bob Curry's on the line. Bob, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, buddy?
Doing grand. What's the weather like out there today?
It's not too good here today. It's a bit windy here. Rain has holed up a little bit there now.
And what about last night? Pretty bad?
Yeah, it was rain. We had quite a bit of rain there last night, yeah.
So listen, how are you doing? Tell us about the company first, Discovery Sea Adventures. How long you've been giving tours?
This is our third year now in operation here in Bonavista.
And do you have a larger boat and a Zodiac, or are you all Zodiac tours?
No, just a Zodiac tour.
Oh, so you guys are managed to boogie and travel large distances to make sure you get close enough to some icebergs.
Oh yeah, we go wherever it takes to get them out and get them pleased, right?
But this year, to me, it seems like that seems to be a bit of a banner year for icebergs. What are you seeing in Bonavista?
Oh, yeah, there's lots of icebergs here this year. I'd say there's about 15 just been around around the Cape area. That area, there's about 15 there now. And, all those winds we're having now is not good for us, really, for tours. But you're only getting out a couple of days a week, maybe, because the winds are from the north all the time here in Bonavista, and northern wind is not good, right?
The good news is they're blowing them in towards you, but the bad news is you can't get out.
Yeah, that's right.
I was up in Bonavista a couple of years ago around this time of year, and I don't know, I remember seeing like 30, 40 just around a couple of kilometers of that cape. It's a pretty spectacular area to see in.
Yeah, it is. Well, when they're coming down there, that's the first point out there that they're going to hook up. They're going to come in around there, right? But a lot of icebergs just go on past us each year. But we got lucky the year, and we got the winds to bring them in here, and it's great, right? It's great for us, yeah.
Bob, most times by the time the icebergs get down by close to St. John's, where I'm living right now, you get these little, rectangles that are sort of smoothed over. They've already rolled and tipped and toppled a bunch of times, but it seems like this year there's some real beautiful castles and just monster pieces of ice floating down.
Yeah, it's spectacular the year this is. Like, when it comes first, you don't see that, but after it's there for a little while, like, we had this big blow there last week and a big swell here. And after that, they change shape completely, right? Just sculptures, that's what they look like, right?
They really are like castles, some of them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's all shapes and sizes there.
So tell me about everybody likes to have their tourism season from January to December, but that's not necessarily the case. How are things shaping up out in Bonavista with these icebergs? Are you getting to see an earlier start?
Oh, yeah. I'd say, compared to last year, I'd say we're just about a month ahead here now, right, than we was last year. Yeah.
Are you seeing people from other parts of the world, or mainly just Newfoundlanders that want to come and see him?
A lot of Newfoundlanders, a lot from like up in Ontario, Ontario, Quebec, and BC, them areas, but not a lot yet from like UK areas and stuff like that, where we normally get them later on here in June. Now I'd say, right?
Yeah, it's tough because people are when you if you want to come to see the icebergs, and so many people do, it's a bit of a crapshoot sometimes when you're going to get them. And if you know, it ain't cheap to get here. Let's put it that way. So sometimes people might hold off until it's too late, or say, oh, well, let's try June or let's try July. But this year it seems like it's hit really early. It's May and we are in a banner iceberg season.
Yeah, and I think they're going to stick around for a while, at least here, it seems to be. And there's still lots coming down yet, right? Up above, you look at the iceberg chart there, and there's still a lot of icebergs coming down along the coast there.
So that bodes well. That's icebergfinder.com. Is that what it is?
No, on the Environment Canada one, they got one there that shows in each block how many icebergs is there, right?
Right.
That's coming down the coast there. Yeah, it's on the Environment Canada site there.
3 years ago, it's not a cheap endeavor to say, I think I'm going to start a tour company. What possessed you, and are you glad you did?
Well, a couple of us got together, and we looked at, there was no one down in Malavista at the time doing any tours. There was no tours down there 3 years ago until we started up there. So it looked like a good opportunity there, and it seems to be working out pretty good because Malavista is really coming on stream there now with tourism, right? Each year you can see a difference, a big difference now than 3 years ago, even, right?
It really is, and it's particularly with iceberg. What about whales? When whale season hits, do you get a lot up there?
Oh, yeah, we get lots of whales there, too. Last year, there was whales here. They were here early last year, I'd say mid-June, right on up to September, right?
Wow.
Yeah. So, last year, we got to get icebergs and whales all together. And then you got puffins, lots of puffins down around there. So a lot of tourists said they get the Newfoundland Grand Slam.
Yes.
Icebergs, whales, and puffins.
Yeah. Well, that's the Newfoundland triple. The Grand Slam would be to drink with a bit of iceberg, a chunk of iceberg in it. That would complete the Grand Slam.
Yeah, that's for sure. It brings in lots of that for them. They all want some things to bring back with them. So. Yeah,
that's fantastic, Bob. Look, Bonavista. You know, we can talk about Fogo and the Shorefast Foundation and what they've done, but Bonavista is another, another example of not only Bonavista, but you look at the Spillers Coves and the Ellistons and the neighboring communities that have all gotten together and say, okay, what do we have to offer? Let's work together as a region and create, a 2-day, 3-day adventure, and it seems to be working.
Oh, it is, yeah. Well, I get people all the time coming. They only plan on a day or two here. When you get here, like they want to spend more time. They should have spent more, they should have had more time in their agenda for this area alone, because they don't realize what's here right till they get here, right?
Yeah, and even the main street, how that's sort of really coming together piece by piece, house by house, these beautiful old buildings that have been fully renovated, mini splits in the back so everybody is, no one's roasting in the shops anymore. It's really a nice melding of the new and the old.
Yeah, that's right. There's a lot of old buildings down there being repaired and done up again right there. And it's nice to see it too, right, instead of being tore down and modern stuff built, but there's a lot of old houses there all done up now, and it looks really nice down there, yeah.
Well, Bonavista is definitely one tourism destination. We're into tourism season, so I might start flipping around the island now and seeing what's going on elsewhere. Bob Curry with Discovery Sea Adventure Tours, thank you very much for this quick chat.
Okay, thank you, buddy.
I'll call you later and check on the whales.
Okay.
Thanks, Bob. Bye-bye.
Good enough. Bye.
This is great. This is a great problem. You know, you can just like cold call people right out of the blue and say, hey, how are you doing? This is Daryl. Anyone talking to radio? And if you want to talk on the radio, you can reach out to me. You can find me on Twitter at DarylPowerNL. You can find me on Facebook Messenger, which is where a lot of people do. What's going on in your neck of the woods? A play, a concert, a music, a dance. What is going on? Give me a call. Zach, this show is rolling along, man. This show is rolling along. Let's go. We'll be back in two shakes of a lamb's tail.
Call now, 273-5211 or 1-888-590-8626. That's 1-888-590-8626. VOCM. Your Sunday drive continues right after this. This is Sunday Drive on the VOCM Bigland FM radio network.
Welcome back to the May 24th show. I put it out earlier. If you're camping, give me a shout and let me know where you were. If you were camping, give me a shout. If you got some May 24 memories and you wanted to give me a quick story, give me a shout, because one lucky winner is going to win two tickets to the plays next week at the D.F. Cook Recital Hall. That's the second time I've tripped over that word today. It's from May 27th to the 31st. The tickets are for the show on the Tuesday, the 28th. Two plays, one night, supporting Broken Earth. Go and check them out. Zach is in behind the glass now, just lining up another call. Let's see what I can find about it. You would not believe the. I just checked. There is just a stack of emails that come in for people who want to get some information out. How about the fact, listen to this one now while Zach gets this up. The All Saints Parish Foxtrot, they'll be holding a gospel hymn sing May 26th starting at 7 p.m. House band. Okay, I'm curious. Oh, excellent. The house band has a name, Saints Alive. I love it. We'll perform and we'll enjoy. Invite a band, Shamrock Gospel. Oh, I'm totally good. Where is this? I'm going to have to go myself. Come along, bring a friend for a night of music and fellowship. A free offering will be accepted at the door. If you need further information, call Sandra. So that is All Saints Parish Foxtrot. That's, wow. Zach's still going. What else is coming up here? This one is further up in June, but I guess we can talk about it now, just in case. The St. John's Choir Spring Concert with special guests, the Aurora Women's Choir, will take place Sunday, June 2nd, George Street United Church, starting 7:30, tickets $20. You want to purchase, you can call the email stjohnschoir.info@gmail.com, or you can call 746-8947. That's 746-8947. How you doing out there, Zach? We got a couple of calls lined up, but sometimes they just sort of fall off by the wayside, right? By the way, just speaking to Bill Curry, I just opened up Twitter during the break, and this guy, Mark Gray, I don't know who he is, but Mark is out in Buena Vista, and he has been out in a boat in Buena Vista, and he is sharing some of the most spectacular iceberg photos I've ever seen. Just like when I say castles, I mean castles. You're talking about two spires of ice. So I'm sure Facebook is probably full of them too. I'm sure it is. Zach is still going, so we'll just keep moving on here, because that's what we're all about. Bye. Like I say, call in about May 24th weekend, and those tickets could be yours. Another choir coming up on Saturday, June 2nd, next week. No, 2 weeks' time. Quarterly Yours Choir, under direction of Janet Bradbury, presents its annual concert on a Sunday, June 2nd, at St. Teresa's Choir, starting at 2 p.m. Cost is $10 for an upbeat, fun experience, guaranteed to entertain. Call Janet at 725-7525 for tickets. Yes, we have a call up. So I always like to talk to people who are a little younger, because everybody thinks that, you know, youth are going around here and they're up to no good and they're getting in trouble and they're spending all their time on their phones and their iPads and their computers and they're not very productive. Well, I find since doing this show and other shows on this network, that is definitely not the case. There are lots of young people who are engaged young entrepreneurs who are go-getters. My next guest is Paige Penny, who at the grand age of 14 years old already has she's a singer, a songwriter with a single released. Paige is on the line. Hi, Paige. How are you?
Hi. How are you, Daryl?
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, this is always a weird one, because I believe I know your dad, so that makes me feel particularly old. And you're 14 years old, is that correct?
Yeah, I'm 14.
What school are you going to?
I go to St. Paul's.
Oh, that's a nice school. Grade 9?
Grade 9, yeah.
Almost ready for high school. So how long have you been singing and playing, Paige?
ever since I can remember, but I probably started performing and writing songs around like 8 or 9.
Because I've seen you. You performed at the events like the St. John's Folk Festival.
Yeah, I did.
What about you? Have you ever done Young Folk at the Hall?
I have not, but definitely something to look into.
Yeah, you should look into that because that's an opportunity to get together with other musicians your age. Fergus creates bands, and you put off little mini concerts on a Sunday, which is a great day of entertainment. Tell me about your new song. What's it called?
My single that just came out a couple weeks ago is called Watch Out for Your Step.
And so it's written fully, completely by yourself?
No, me and my dad wrote this one. We wrote it around when I was 10-ish, I think. And yeah, it was one of our first songs we wrote together. And since then, we just kept writing the other.
Paige, starting writing at 10 years old, that is really a brilliant thing, because most times when we're young, we have this great creativity, and there's something about adulthood that sort of stomps it out for people.
Yeah.
But
when you're a kid, you're not scared of anything. So it was definitely a great time to start.
Yeah, because your ideas are just way more creative because they're not hindered by anything. So where did you record it?
I recorded the song and the whole EP in Nashville, Tennessee, in Dark Horse Recording.
Oh,
yeah.
So I would go to my basement and do it, and you go to Nashville, Tennessee.
Yes. Well, we did do 2 songs here, but we did the other 4 on the EP in Nashville, which was really cool.
So you did four songs in Nashville, 2 here in St. John's.
Yes.
So tell me about the EP. What's it called?
So the EP, well, Watch Out for Your Step is the title track. So the EP is called Watch Out for Your Step, and there's 6 songs on it. And yeah, you're in for a treat because I've been waiting to share this with you guys like forever. So
you have heard this. You sound definitely excited about it. You are going to be releasing this EP soon. When is that happening?
May 24th, so on Friday, my EP comes out, and I'm just super excited. Like, I can't believe it's already here.
Are any of your friends coming from St. Paul's?
Oh, yes. A bunch of my friends are coming. There's going to be a CD release party that night at the Space, Harbor Drive. It's going to be really fun. And I got a great band lined up. I got Elliot Dix on drums, Josh Ward on bass, Booby Brown electric guitar, Brad Power on banjo, and a few surprises, too. So,
Paige, you're freaking me out. You are freaking me out. You just listed like some kind of crazy all-star band there.
It is an all-star band. Like, we were having a rehearsal, and I was like, oh, my God, this sounds incredible.
Yeah, like, you basically got the creme de la creme. Like, you know, okay, who's, like, give me the top drummer, bass, guitars in the city. Okay, let's work with those.
I know.
I'm so excited for you.
Yeah, I can't believe it's happening.
So it's at the Space. Is that 50 Harbor Drive?
Yes, it is.
And it's this Friday.
This Friday, yep.
What time is it starting?
It's starting at 8 p.m. And we have, opening up for me is Joanna Barker, incredible. And yeah, then it's me and my band, the Old Souls.
Sure, there's nothing to do now but finish grade 12 and go on the road.
I know.
So what? Now that you got this done, are you still writing regularly?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Is it, what kind of music is it, would you say?
Probably pop, folky, and country. It definitely has a Nashville vibe to it.
Yeah, that's a really nice place to be now in terms of what people are listening to, you know?
Definitely, yeah.
Paige, I am really, really I love when I get the chance to talk to young people punching above their weight in terms of what can be done with their life to make it more exciting. So many young kids love music and don't do anything about it. And here you are, a grade 9 student from St. Paul's with her own 6-song EP. Good luck at your release. Where can people get tickets for that?
Thank you. Well, you can get it at eventbrite.ca. Just type down Paige Penny CD release, so it'll pop up. And yeah, you can get your tickets. It's going to be an incredible show.
Paige Penny, P-A-I-G-E, for those who are searching. Is that correct?
Yes.
Paige, listen, if you get any more news, reach out and call me again, and we'll have another chat. Congratulations.
Definitely.
Okay.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
See? And there you go, folks. 14. Paige Penny. Yes. Okay, last call before the show. Rod Livier. is on the line. People from Twitter would probably know who I'm talking about. And Rod's got a special event coming up that I'm kind of curious about. It's happened at Darnell's, and he is on line too. Rod, how are you?
Great, buddy. How are you doing?
Great to talk to you. My God, we tweet each other, and we talk to each other a lot less often, don't we?
Yes, yes, absolutely. You know, social media is the new norm these days, isn't it?
It is, and that's how I find out about all kinds of wild and crazy events, like the one that you are promoting on Twitter. Tell us about it.
Well, a friend of mine and her partner, Jackie Hunt, and her partner Brian, visited Cuba, and what they noticed was stray dogs just littering the streets. Nobody looking after them, starving to death, you know, just a horrible situation.
I was talking to Nathan Penny before the show and talking to him about this, and he was definitely would concur about what a problem this is becoming in Cuba.
It's a major problem, and Jackie, you know, was sprung to action by seeing this, and has on subsequent trips there brought vet supplies and food, whatever she can stuff into a couple of suitcases that she can get down there, and then donate to a couple of caregivers that are down there in the city that she goes to, or the resort she visits in those areas, and distributes that. And it's such a much needed thing. What she came across was that she can build a shelter down there for $1,500. I mean, that's just a pittance, really. But, $1,500, and she can build a shelter. So she's going to have a little fundraiser at Darnell's on May 31st.
At Darnell's Pub, which is out... it's Paradise. I thought it was Mount Pearl, but it's Paradise, right?
It's Paradise, yes. Right next to this little strip mall, right next to the post office in Paradise.
Mm-hmm.
And just across the road, basically, from the new Sobeys store there. So, you know, it starts at 7 p.m., May 31st. That's a Friday evening. Donations at the door. There's going to be a silent auction and a few little ticket draws, I guess.
A little 50-50, no doubt?
Yes, a little 50-50, absolutely. Justin Fancy is playing there, and you never knew who else might show up. You just never know, Darrell Power. Hint, hint.
Well, who knows? I see. So it's called Help Us Help the Dogs of Cuba. $1,500 gets a dog shelter, which would be invaluable to, I'm sure, many pets down there. It's in Varadero, Cuba. Many people have gone, traveled, vacated, all-inclusive, honeymoon, what have you.
Yep.
But we always see, you know...
If you stay on the resorts, you don't see the truth.
Exactly. If you stay on the resort, you see the beautiful sandy beaches and the unlimited burgers. But the fact is, there is some poverty in the streets down there, not only for people, but including pets. So thanks for this, Rod. It's 2 weeks' time. Friday, June 2nd, Darnell's Pub, 7 o'clock. Go and support a great cause.
Friday, May 31st.
Friday, May 31st.
At 7 p.m. There's also, look, if anybody wants to contact Jackie, they can go to dogsofcuba@gmail.com. That's dogsofcuba@gmail.com. Send Jackie a little note there. See if you want to donate something, whether it be a few dollars or a prize for a silent auction or whatever. Look, I'm going to be there. We're hoping to have a few more people lined up to play. It's going to be a great evening, great time at Darnell's there. And we hope to see you there.
Rod, listen, if you run a bigger crowd there, you should probably be telling people you can't make it. I'm here all week, folks. I'm here all week.
Oh, listen. And it's Liver, Rod Liver. L-Y-V is in Victory Yard.
Liver. So that's it. I just hit the record. It's like 15 mistakes in 1 hour. Rod,
okay,
it's great joking with you, kidding with you on Twitter and off Twitter. Great to chat with you, bud. Thanks for this.
Care, buddy.
Okay,
thank
bud.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Rod Liver, another great event. We're going to the news, and we'll see you out the other side.
This is Sunday Drive on the VOCM Bigland FM radio network.
Welcome back to Hour 2. I just took 4 minutes and just ran out the door to see what it was really like out, and Motley, I guess, might come to mind. It's like sort of foggy, drizzly, chilly. Some people are sticking it out on the Sunday night, and I'm sure there's a lot of other people who are making the drive home. If you're in the car right now, conditions aren't the best. right across the island. Drive safely, drive safely, drive safely. A couple of quick shout-outs. First of all, congratulations to the St. John's Edge, who had a great run, but hit the wall in New Brunswick in the finals, plagued by injuries, but a great season all around. And how about the Growlers? The Growlers of the Growlers, who have Saturday night, I believe it was Saturday night, won Game 4 here at home and is going to the finals of the Kelly Cup in their inaugural season. Hello. And that is all because of the sixth man in those in the mile one whenever there is a game on, and that would be the fans who turn out in droves. And the finals are coming, folks. They start next Saturday night. That gives the team a full week to now I have two stories. Some people it might make a team a little rusty, but this far into the season, a week to recuperate, a week to get healthy, a week to practice and focus is a great thing. So we will look forward to a fantastic finals. Now, in sports, still with sports, it's here. It is here. Well, it's almost here. The Eastbound Speedway was due to start with their NASCAR season opener today, but you know as well as I do, the weather was not really cooperating, and I'm sure slippery conditions definitely do not bode well for NASCAR racers. We're going to reach out to someone who's going to be there tomorrow and probably will hardly sleep tonight. Mike James is on the line. Mike, how are you?
How's it going, Daryl?
Good to chat with you, bud. So listen, are you excited or what?
Oh, buddy, we're jacked up. Typical May 24th weekend. Second year in a row we've been pushed to Monday, but I can tell you what, there's over 60-plus NASCAR NX race cars ready to go for tomorrow, and we're really excited to get this Hickman Automotive Group 75 NASCAR season opener ready to go.
Wow, so it's 60 cars. That's like, that's impressive. Like when it first started off, how many were in a typical race?
We started off around about 30 to 40, and we've actually grown over. There's over 100 cars actually on the island right now, but because of work way and stuff like that, not every race car actually runs the full season, but generally on a weekend like this, we'll have close to 60 cars. From our IHRA drag strip, we have another 100 cars over there. So at Eastbound throughout the summer, we have over 200 race cars racing with us.
The NASCAR, like, who is doing, because the body of the NASCAR cars, it's basically plastic, isn't it?
Fiberglass and steel, you know, they run the full chassis, tubular chassis with fiberglass and steel skins around them. So they are the late model. But we run four different divisions at Eastbound. Our Division One NASCAR, they race in the NASCAR Wheeling All-American Series. I've seen that you talked to Phil Fowler, the number 11 Chevrolet. We got typically there were probably around 25 of those racing in the top tier tomorrow. We also have the Hamlin Realty U.S. Legends that are manufactured out of Charlotte, North Carolina. They'll be running tomorrow. We have our Sun Life Financial Bandoleros. That's our kids program ages 8 to 16. And I can tell you they can get around that track pretty quick. And then we also have the Dodge, Atlantic Dodge Dealers Hobby Stock, which is your Civic, your Neon, or your Cobalt with roll cage inside them. So they're a lot of fun to watch. They do get a little gritty on the track, so it's sometimes it could be almost like a demolition derby around the 3/8.
Cars have changed so much. I remember when I did talk to Phil, he was driving some kind of 80s. He was driving an old Monte Carlo, which, you know, the mechanics could lift the hood and knew what to do. The newer cars, it's a little bit trickier.
Oh, definitely, definitely. You know, the setup, the geometry. Eastbound Park is one of the top NASCAR tracks in North America, believe it or not. You know, it's only a couple years old. Most NASCAR tracks are over 60 to 80 years old. This track here, it was designed by Patty Squires and the crew. It is 3/8 mile, 18-degree bank, and it's an uphill 1-2, downhill 3 and 4. It's a 12-foot elevated backstretch, so it's a gnarly track. There's four different variations in this racetrack for our drivers. DJ Kennington from Monster Energy Cup was here last year, and he said it was one of the most gnarliest tracks in the world.
So that's it. It's obviously just getting a buzz is occurring about this track. And so you're starting to attract drivers from other parts of Canada and down in the U.S.
Yeah, DJ was here last year. He races in the Monster Energy Cup. He was the first Canadian in the Daytona 500 as well. J.R. Fitzpatrick's been here. He's raced with Dale Jr. Motorsports, Dale Earnhardt, and you know, more and more drivers from all over the world are starting to look at eastbound, and that's typically the reason why we called it. We wanted the rest of North America to look east, and that's the reason why Avondale Speedway turned to Eastbound Park as we develop a beautiful track out there just after 5 years.
So it's tomorrow. Doors are at 12, and the green flag at 1:30 p.m. So tell us, what's the typical day look like there?
So tomorrow we got the Shamrock City Performance Stage. Your buddy Ray Lake, I'm sure you're good friends of Ray.
Up the harbor, down the shore.
Up the harbor, down the shore is going to kick things off for us and welcome fans back to the NASCAR season. He'll get on stage at around 12 o'clock. Then we'll have an actual pit party where you can go trackside, get some autographs, and actually see these race cars up front. And then at 1:30, we're going to do our heat qualifiers, and then we'll get the cars on the track and get them qualified into position. And then at 2:30, we're going to rock it out, and that's the green flag official for the Hickman Automotive Group 75.
Wow, the qualifier, is it one lap just to get your bearings and then one for time?
We do time trials in the bigger races, but at this one here, we're going to throw about, 10 or 11 cars on the track in two different heats. And then we'll let them go at it for about 10 laps just to get their times. And, and sometimes, Darrell, those heat race qualifiers get pretty dirty because they want to get up to the front of the pack.
What's your position in all this, Mike?
I'm the janitor.
Oh, so you're Mr. Fix-It.
No, I'm the event director. We produce monster trucks all over the world in freestyle motocross, and I moved home several years ago to raise my family in Newfoundland and got with Pat Squires and the team, and we've built an awesome management team to run this. So on my end, I actually do the broadcasting out there, and another good friend of yours, Lex Griffiths, will have his first broadcast experience tomorrow with me. And we do the marketing and promotions out there.
DJ Lex, this is a small world, Mike. So listen, what are some of the big events that people might want to keep their ears open for this summer?
You never know what's going to happen at Eastbound. We've had Nitro Circus out there. We got the Napa Auto Parts World Series of Monster Trucks, which is three shows. I produced that show worldwide as far as Tel Aviv, Israel, Vegas, and all across the United States and Canada. And when we do it yearly here in Newfoundland, it's one of the biggest ones ever to produce in Canada. So that's coming up July 19th to the 21st. There's always a possibility of the Hoedown coming back. We've taken a hiatus from the music industry because of the economics and everything. But we're really looking forward to bringing that some of that activities back to the track. But throughout the season, we do over 25-plus events, and we open up this weekend, and we pretty much go hard till October.
It's out in Avondale. Avondale will literally be on wheels. It is the opener of NASCAR Monday, May 20th. Be there at 12. Get a chance to look at some of those cars and be there for the action at 1:30. Mike, listen, keep in touch with me, okay, throughout the summer, and let's keep this going and see if we can't get those stands filled.
For sure. Let's get you in one of those race cars. And for all information, just head up eastboundpark.com or follow us on Facebook. Tickets tomorrow, just $15 for kids and 20 for adults. And you can come out on the go-karts. If you come out tomorrow, I'll get you and Lex in a duke out on the go-kart track.
I tell you right now, I was just going to say, if I go out and race at all, sign me up for the Bandoleros, and I know I'm going to in for a serious butt-kicking.
Well, Lugnut the Moose, we'll get him on the track with you, and I'm sure we can have a bit of fun. You got my cell phone right now, so just send me a text, and I'll make sure you're taken care of.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it, bud.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye. There's just so much stuff that's going on in this province on any given weekend, any given day. I mean, that when the Eastbound Speedway first opened, who knew how popular it would become? Who knew that people from this province, from all over this province, would start sinking money into cars, NASCAR racing, or maybe just fixing up your old 91 Honda Civic and racing and having a thrill? There it is. That's the sound. We are going to the commercial break. We'll be back in a flash.
This is Sunday Drive on the VOCM Bigland FM radio network.
The Sunday Drive with Daryl Power on VOCM is brought to you by Robothan Mackay and Marshall. Injured? Robothan Mackay and Marshall can help. Make the call today.
Welcome back to the show. We are all over the place. I did put it out. I'm going to put it out again. There are two tickets coming up to two plays that are going to occur next week at the D.F. Cook Recital Hall. You have the opportunity to win free, hear me out, free tickets, two free tickets up for grabs for anyone who can call in and let me know where they're camping this weekend or some memory of some story. Looks like we do have a winner, because I already have one call. But if you want to have a competition and names drawn out of a hat, please do that for me. Once a week, I talk about with one of the fine authors from Flanker Press. And let me tell you, we have talked with some great about some great books that are being produced right here, from the lighthearted Grandpa Pike's Number Two, the fantastic books by people like Carolyn Parsons with The Dreams of Betsy Elliott and The Promise by Ada Linehan Young, Mothers of the Regiment. For me, it's been great because it forces me to sort of read a book a week. And if you were a reader in another part of your life, I would advise you, I know things get busy, and reading is what sometimes falls off the chart. I'm advising you to pick it up again, because it is a wonderful thing to take your phone, put it on mute, take a book, pick it up, and get lost in some fantastic Newfoundland novels. Jerry Cranford is one of the fine men that work at Flanker Press. And Flanker Press has gone from the little engine that could into the little engine that cranks out more books than one can imagine. Jerry is on the line. Jerry, how are you?
How are you, sir?
Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm a big fan of the show.
Thank you very much. I'm a big fan of this show, too, because I get to have kind of, it's amazing how much you learn about what's going on in this province from just hosting this show. I love it.
It's good news. So, yeah, like you say on the commercial, everyone needs a bit more of that, right?
Do we ever, especially when the weather's like it is today, Jerry?
Yeah, well, I hope you and your listeners are enjoying the long weekend despite the rain today.
Jerry, I'm always amazed at how much Flanker is cranking out, you know?
Thank you.
It's just a testament not only to the work that you guys are doing to get them released, but the amount of quality writing that's being done in this province.
Oh, great. Thank you very much.
So you guys are keeping me busy. Let's put it that way. I will say that, but I've really been enjoying the books. And they even got a... Carolyn Morgan has a new book that's coming out called Unveiled, which I'm really looking forward to reading.
Yeah, Unveiled is a fantastic novel about, of course, Giovanni Strazza's masterpiece here in the city, The Veiled Virgin. And the story is about a young woman who travels to Italy to unravel the mystery surrounding the model for Strazza's statue. She finds that there's a really deep Italy Newfoundland connection, and we follow her across all parts of Italy, from Rome to Vinci to Florence, and we discover along with her, what was the motivation behind Giovanni Strazza creating the Veiled Virgin, but also why did it end up here? That's the big mystery.
Yeah, are there actually two Veiled Virgins, are there?
I don't know that for a fact.
Maybe there aren't, but I know every time someone that I know comes to visit this city and I get to sort of take him around for a day, I always take him to see that piece because it is simply haunting. For those who don't know what I'm talking about, it is a statue of the Virgin Mary. There is a veil that's over her face and it's all done in one piece of marble, and it really looks like there is a translucent veil over the face of a woman.
That's right. Yeah, it's a masterpiece. It's like, the Louvre has the Mona Lisa. Well, we, Canada, Newfoundland, we have Giovanni Strazza. I mean, it's really on par.
And it's free to see. That's the other beautiful thing about it.
Yeah, and it is, of course, at the Presentation Convent here in town.
It sounds like she must have done a lot of research to write a book like this.
Yeah, Carolyn Morgan has an art background, and for people who've read her first book, Art Love Forgery, about Alexander Pindakowski, who painted the ceilings and the frescoes of a government house, her novels seem to follow that fascination with art, especially local art, and how it intertwines in our history. So people who are interested in Newfoundland history, who are interested in art, but who also want a really good darn read and like a good mystery thriller, are just going to love Unveiled.
Now, listen, what else is on your agenda coming up for the years out?
Well, this is we've got a very exciting lineup for the fall. This is our 25th year in business, by the way. Flanker Press's 25th year, and we're very proud and excited about our fall lineup. One book that I'm sure all of your listeners will be very fascinated with is one called My Life with John. Now, this book has been adapted from the diaries of Jane Crosby.
Wow.
And excuse me, and her diaries date back further back than when John got into politics. And, you know, as she says in there, every day when John would come home, she would fill her in on the day, and she would write these in her diaries, these entries. So she has her own, she's a formidable woman for sure, very strong-willed and intelligent, and has her own take on the political doings of the day.
So she co-wrote that with someone else?
She did. Pamela Pardy Gent.
Oh, right on.
Pamela and Jane got together, and they decided, you know what, this would make a great book. So they gave Pam gave me a call, and of course I said yes. it just sounds like a fascinating read.
It sounds like something that not only will garner attention in Newfoundland but across the country as well, because John Crosby was larger than life in Newfoundland, and Schildegard was larger than life in this country as well.
Oh, absolutely. He was a character on the national stage as well as the provincial, you know. So I look forward to reading about Jane's take on the Tequila Sheila moment in the House of Commons.
I didn't take the GD fish out of the GD water. You know, there's so many moments,
yes,
right?
Yes, the moratorium, absolutely. I'm really looking forward to to getting feedback from people who read it, because you know, I think it's just going to be an incredible piece of history, but also very entertaining.
Yes, through a female lens, which is really going to be change it totally. What else is out there?
Well, we have Operation Vanished is coming out soon in August, and that is a lot of your listeners may have read Helen C. Escott's first book, Operation Wormwood. A Newfoundland crime thriller, and this one is, I don't want to say sequel, because it happens at the same time as Operation Wormwood. They're concurrent. And this is absolutely fascinating. This one, the main character is a rookie RCMP female officer who has just joined the, it's fiction, who has just joined the major crime unit for the RCMP, and she's given a stack of cold case files, and a lot of these cold case files have to deal with missing and murdered women and children, and that is a theme that runs throughout. You know, how over the years women and children have been treated. So there's a really fascinating message to be learned from reading this one. But this one,
just to pick up on that, like last week I interviewed Brian Callahan, and he wrote "Growing Up in the Mental Awareness," which is really writing what you know. You know, because he did grow up next to the Waterford Hospital, he did become a journalist, and it's all there. And Helen Escott was all, like you mentioned, was an RCMP officer, and did come across a myriad of cases and interesting cases and unsolved cases, and I'm sure she has a treasure trove of. Things to talk about. I loved Wormwood. Was a really great book. Wormwood could be a movie. Could be a movie easily.
Yeah, thank you. And you know something, Operation Wormwood is actually a finalist for the Arthur Ellis Awards under the Best First Novel Award, and those awards are going to be announced on this month, May 23rd. So, you know, we're all at Flanker Press. We're all keeping our fingers crossed for Helen, and she's going to be there. She's going to the gala to hopefully learn firsthand some very good news. So she's a dynamo of a writer, and this one, you know, dare I say it's even better? I don't know. People will judge for themselves, but I enjoyed this one every bit as much as Operation Wormwood, this new one, Operation Vanished. And there's an interesting historical aspect to this one as well. The Newfoundland communities that the main character, Constable Gail McNaughton, who's inspired by two real female RCMP officers that Helen knows, the communities that she goes to in order to investigate these cases of missing and murdered children, there's a common thread, and that is, in all these communities, people are telling Constable McNaughton that this person was taken by the fairies. Mm. So there's fairy folklore in there, which a lot of Newfoundlanders and Labradorians will identify with.
Yeah, there's a strong fairy folklore in Belle Island, and a bit of fairy folklore down in Logie Bay, Middle Cove, Outer Cove as well.
That's right. And so this one takes us all across the province, it's a thrill ride.
Nice. Give us one more before we go.
One more. Okay. We have one for the Christmas season coming up, In Search of St. Nicholas. And that one is by our good friend Bruce Templeton, the man in the red suit. He has written this beautiful, beautiful story about a young boy who goes on a bit of an adventure, if you will, through time to visit with all kinds of people who are related to the Christmas tradition. Like he gets to meet Charles Dickens as a child and learn about his inspiration for A Christmas Carol.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so it's a beautiful story, which is not only aimed at you know, taking us on an exploration of Christmas, but also there's a moral in there as well. Like these people that he meets, who are tied to the Christmas tradition, they get to show him what the true meaning of Christmas is.
Now, you Bruce, he is, I've interviewed him before. I'm trying to think of which book he's written, but I just learned in passing at the end of that interview that he has been the man. He has been Santa Claus for a long time.
Yes.
Right? At the Village, I think, is it? Or maybe all over.
All over, really. Yeah. Yeah. We're also very excited to have Lieutenant Governor Judy Foote has written the foreword for Bruce's book.
Nice.
So she was really something. She leaped at the opportunity, and we couldn't be happier.
He was a what? What did he write? Is it the murder? I'm trying to think of which what novel that, that...
He wrote a couple of books, one called The Man in the Red Suit, another one called The Man with the White Beard, and these were stories about his life as, you know, Santa Claus, or Santa Claus's helper, if you will.
Yeah.
And he wrote another one as well, in a similar vein, 24 Teddy Bears, I think it's called.
Yeah. Listen, great stuff. Lots to look forward to. I'm just looking on your website at the list of authors that are in your roster, and it's staggering how many are actually there. What kind of a encyclopedia you've built. Jerry, thanks for this. We'll be in touch again, I'm sure.
Oh, thank you so much,
Darryl. Thanks, bud. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
So many great books, and there goes Jerry's call. Sorry about that, Jerry. There are so many great books, so little time. Going to the second last break of the day. Back in a flash.
Call now, 273-5211 or 1-888-590-8626. That's 1-888-590-VOCM. Your Sunday drive continues right after this. This is Sunday Drive on the VOCM Bigland FM radio network.
Welcome back to the show. Some people are quietly calling in and telling some stories, but don't necessarily want to go on the air. For example, one doozy is Bob Don. Shout out to Bob Don. Brand new fishing pole, probably bought a Canadian Tire, always the big mate who for sales a Canadian Tire on fishing poles. He lost his new fishing pole off his ATV when they were just about to go fishing in Brigus Junction. Also got a message from someone who chooses to remain nameless, who's out on the other side of the country, but tuning into the program. Folks, this one is kind of funny. They basically rowed a boat. A couple of them rode a boat over to an island, according to him, are currently squatting at a cabin, have eaten every mushroom in BC, and were listening to a yogi earlier today, and now are tuned into the program. Boss, what are you at? What are you at? How's it going out there? I have often spoke about, on this program, about a group called Rising Youth that takes the ideas of youth in this province and helps them out with little bits of money, just to prove that this is real, that this is not just some kind of organization that doesn't do things. I will introduce you to, I think we have two people on the line now, Jen Crow and Ryan Murphy, who have approached Rising Youth, have applied for funding, and have their own brand new tech idea, their own brand new idea that I think I'm going to be able to use extensively. They are both on the line now. Hello, Jen and Ryan.
Hey.
Hello.
Happy May 2-4 weekend.
Happy May 2-4. Did you guys get out at all?
Oh, yes. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Where'd you go?
The usual, cabins.
Oh, you went to the cabin?
I went to Middle Cove.
Where'd you go, Jen?
I went to Middle Cove, so, you know,
well, that's
kind of outside of town.
That's close to my heart, so, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Listen, tell me about your, first of all, let's just talk about Rising Youth for a second. How did you hear about them?
Yeah, Rising Youth, the grant is supported by a couple of different organizations in the federal government, I think, nowadays. And we had this idea a year and a half ago, and we were looking for a bit of funding and found out about it and applied, and we were lucky. So now it's more than an idea.
It is more than an idea, and a little bit of seed money goes a long way to getting something off the ground. You guys have created something that's called Pollen. Tell us about it.
You got it. So Pollen.community is more than an idea now. As I said, it's live. It's available on the web. And it is a platform that helps people share their expertise and helps people who are planning events or journalists like yourself finding people for programs, find that new perspective, that new voice to share with your audiences.
Jen, it sounds like a great idea. I mean, I'm always looking for people to talk to on this program because there's so many wonderful things happening in the province. And a lot of times they'd go unnoticed and they go unheard of and they don't get celebrated. And sometimes people are planning events and they say, I wonder if we had someone who was experienced in knitting, experienced in coding, experienced in anything. And this seems to be like a one-stop shop. It's a really fantastic idea.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think you hit the nail right on the head, Darryl. What we're trying to do is create a bit of an equalizer. So when you're planning an event or you're putting together a panel, you know, oftentimes the way that we find people is we ask ourselves, who do I know who could speak to that? Or maybe you ask, who do we know? But, you know, oftentimes when you kind of look for people that way, you're missing out on a big portion of the population. Oftentimes you're not capturing diversity. And so we wanted to problem solve that a little bit. And we just felt that there was a better way for us to be able to find that level of expertise that we need to be profiling and we need to be putting on stages.
So it's a website, I guess. Pollen.community is the website.
Yeah.
When was it launched?
Just a couple weeks ago at TEDx St. John's.
Oh, you were someone else. You did a TEDx talk, right?
I did a long time ago, but yeah. I wasn't doing it this week, no.
Oh, it was launched at the last TEDx, which was, I believe, at the Farmers Market?
You got it.
It was, yeah. And I mean, it was a perfect place for us to launch it because, of course, TEDx is about ideas worth spreading. And we really want to elevate that as well and give a platform to folks who have great ideas, but maybe have never been given the opportunity to get on a stage or get in front of a room of people and share those. And maybe no one's ever asked them to, but I think we wanted to kind of rethink what it means to have expertise. And for folks who, you know, maybe don't have years of professional experience in an area, but have some lived experience. So they're, you know, member of a certain group, they're a racialized minority, they have some lived experience in a certain topic. We wanted to give those folks a platform to share their ideas just as much as, you know, the person who has 20 years of professional experience.
The website is very well laid out. I mean, you can literally search the type of topic that you're interested in in general, whether it's arts, you know, business, what have you, arts facilitation, sorry, speaking and workshop, the myriad of topics, whether it's anything from, accounting, transportation, down to retail. Where are you getting all these names?
The topics?
Yeah. Or, no, the names of the contact people themselves.
Oh, that's the best part. We've probably got about 30 people on there right now, and they found the site and signed up themselves. The site has been growing pretty fast, and people seem to be keen to get themselves on there.
So I look at the top of the page, and I see there's a register and a login. So is it is it register, which is the...
Yeah, register. They hit register, and they sign themselves up.
It's a brilliant idea. I know that I'm going to have, well, if you say you have 30 people, I see 30 calls.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a treasure trove.
And it only takes 5 minutes to sign up, too. It's a really simple process. And, you know, the work that we are doing now and I think in the coming weeks will be to be reaching out to people who we feel, you know, have a lot that they can share, and directly asking them, you know, would you like to be a part of this platform, and would you like to kind of have that opportunity to share those ideas or perspectives or expertise? Mm-hmm. So we certainly encourage any of the listeners to sign up. It's open to anybody.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about some of the people you got up. Give us a little rundown of the interesting characters you've already assembled.
That's a good question. So we were lucky. One of the keen things about the TEDx St. John's launch is that a few of our TEDx speakers have already signed up. So people who have had the chance to share that stage are putting themselves out there again to be found once more. But the key thing is that you don't have to be a TEDx speaker. You can be somebody who just knows a lot about, say, fishing, like one of your most recent callers who lost their rod. If you want to share your expertise on fishing and on what that might mean for your community or whatever, you can put yourself out there and be found too. So it's really, there's no requirement, no standard for the kind of person we're looking for.
What I like about it is, you know, you often think about various different topics that often come up in the news, and everybody goes to the same one or two people, and they always seem to be speaking about it. And that's just because of the limitations of people in the newsroom say, okay, well, who can speak to this?
Yeah.
And it's a limited amount of people that they have on, people have their numbers on file or what have you. Whereas this site is about people who have spent their lives and careers in certain topics and certain elements and really have something to give and something a little bit outside of the ordinary.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the dream.
So what is the dream? How many people are you looking for? You got 30. When does it hit 300 and 3,000?
What's the population of Newsline?
Yeah, we're really keen to grow this platform. And I think, you know, it came out of conversations that myself and Ryan Murphy and Mika McCurdy, who is a co-founder of Freeform Events, have been having within our own realms, you know, in all of us work in conference, event, workshop, planning, and coordination. And we kept running into the same issue as, like you said, you automatically think about those couple people who you know have subject area expertise. But, you know, our vision is to have as many people as possible on this platform because I think it just gives us a wider array of people to choose from when we're hosting those types of events and when we're looking to get specific types of perspectives out there into the open and shared with our audiences.
If someone sees someone that's they would like to have at one of their own events, do they contact them directly or they reach out to you and you guys become the liaison?
No, we try not to get in the middle of things. So if you click on somebody's profile, you can read a little bit more about them. They've included their biography there, for instance. And then if you want to take it a step further and engage them, there's a message button. So you tap the message button and type out a message. It's just a quick little chat.
Well, you know, I am a little bit ahead of the curve because I've interviewed a couple of these people already. So I feel like, you know, it's a... I don't know. The province is so full of interesting people, and this is... definitely a list of very interesting people in just even from the people you already have, how many different topics, whether it's immigration, education, workshop, public speaking. It's a really a wonderful idea. And I hope this turns into something huge. It is called Pollen. You can go to pollen.community to find it. It is a local expertise network. And the expertise that's on it is growing. Jen Crow and Ryan Murphy. What are you guys doing right now? Anyway, are you still in school? Or are you? What are your careers? You're both doing event planning.
Yeah, we both do a lot of event planning work. I'm a PhD student as well. Jen does some work with Happy City.
Yeah, I'm on the board of Happy City St. John's, but also working in student leadership development here at the university. So we're both kind of tied into to the event and workshop facilitation world. And this is just something that we've had the opportunity to do off the side of our desk, thanks to the Rising Youth Grant and the Office of Public Engagement's Accelerator Grant and Quick Start Grant. So we're really grateful for the many funding agencies who have kind of had a level of faith and interest in this project. Mm-hmm. And we're excited to see it grow.
Yeah. Well, listen, reach out to the crowd from Happy City because I'm trying to get some more information on the hop on, hop off bus, which I really love that idea. Great to talk to you guys. Thanks for this. Good luck with this project.
Thanks so much, Daryl.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. How about that? Going to the last break of the day, Zach. You ready?
Call now, 273-5211 or 1-888-590-8626. That's 1-888-590-VOCM. Your Sunday drive continues right after this. This is Sunday Drive on the VOCM Bigland FM radio network.
The Sunday Drive with Daryl Power on VOCM is brought to you by Robothan Mackay and Marshall. Injured? Robothan Mackay and Marshall can help. Make the call today.
And we're almost ready to get back home. It sounds like, I must say, I'm sure it's a busy day on the roads, but it seems like things have been pretty safe. Fingers crossed. Let's hope everyone gets home safe and sound. We've done a couple of stories on the beautiful, thriving comedy scene here in this province. Comedians are coming out of the woodwork. And Andrew Tremblett is a member of a very comical little title, if you want, a group that called themselves Half Handsome. So they sound like they have a little bit of humility. Andrew Tremblett is on the line. Andrew, how are you?
How you doing, man? How's everything?
Doing great. Listen, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Tell me about Half Handsome. Who were they?
Cool. So it's basically a group of friends. We started out in, we went to Grenfell together, and we did a theater program, and kind of started out as a little radio show, and ended up turning into a sketch comedy show after a couple years, and now we're our sketch comedy group, sorry. And so we're a local group based in St. John's, and just trying to get some young people out to the theaters and stuff, and drink some beers and watch a show.
Listen, I've done several interviews with people here in St. John's who are comedians. What's the comedy scene like on the West Coast?
On the West Coast? You know what, Daryl? It's been a while since I've been out there, to be honest. But I know there's lots of comedians that go out there. I'm not too familiar with the stand-up scene, but in terms of sketch, I know that the Theater Newfoundland Labrador, they just did a youth sketch show out there. So, you know, I think that was done by Adam Brake down there. Yeah, so, I mean, there's lots of stuff happening, I think, on the West Coast as well.
How long have you guys been together?
Oh, geez, no, that's a question, maybe. How long is that? I think it's been collectively as a sketch comedy group, I think it's been about 4 years plus the kind of years we incubated in university.
Do you do improv or is it all mainly sketch?
Yeah, so there's no improv basically until we get out on the stage. We basically write everything. Everything's kind of thought through. We go through a 3-weekend writing process with our shows, in particular Almost Famous, which is closed, that closed yesterday. So basically what we do with that, we take 3 weekends and we basically pitch some ideas around. We come up with 150 ideas for sketches and scenes. And then they break down after, you know, a couple weekends, and then eventually you got 50, and then you break that down into 30, and you bring 30 into the rehearsal room, and next thing you know, you got to cut 15, and you have 15 to work with for the show. So not much is improvised. Everything is kind of completely thought about, and pretty much, you know, we think a lot about these things, and we want to write about what's on our mind as, you know, young Newfoundlanders living in a such a unique province, right, with a unique perspective.
It's hard to improvise, and sometimes it just comes off as just that, whereas the real key to great sketch comedy is to write it, hone it, craft it, make it as funny as possible, and make it look like it's coming off as improvised when it's on stage.
Yeah, 100%. I'm a firm believer myself that improv is a great tool to discover sketch comedy and discover scenes and characters and situations. But I really like improv almost as an art form, you know, to go out in a lot of big places, New York, Chicago, Toronto, Montreal, they have great improv scenes and they do that. Right. And we like to kind of, like I said, we like to write our stuff. And I think a lot of our, heroes, you know, in sketch comedy, you know, Kodko, Kids in the Hall, they were good at improv, but they like to write the stuff and they like to get it down on paper and tweak the jokes and basically write a little play, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some sort of several scenes that kind of have a cohesive message, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Mark Critch got to start with Cat Fod, right? So it's definitely
exactly.
a long tradition of it. Almost Famous is... has become sort of, whenever it's on at the LSP Hall, that's pretty well the hottest ticket in town.
Oh, man, that's great to hear. Yeah, I love hearing that. I mean, it started out as just this little idea, like I said, of a bunch of friends who we really wanted to prove that there was a market for it here. And I think there is. Now, the Hall has been very good to facilitate us over the last 2 years. And so we're really blessed to have them as kind of our home theater space, as it were, right? Yeah.
What's up next for you?
Well, we just came off, so our show just closed, and before that, we were touring around we toured around New York, Chicago, went to Toronto for all the sketch fests. So we got to meet some people and do all that. I think we're looking at some sort of tour, who knows where, but we want to do a provincial thing, kind of get our stuff down Corner Brook, Gander, hit all those guys, and just trying to figure out what's next. Honestly, we got a lots of stuff planned, but we're just trying to figure out which path to take.
Well, Andrew, listen, congratulations on what you guys have achieved. I wish you all the success. If you really want to know how to plan a Newfoundland tour by yourself, can I give you a tip?
Yeah.
You find out where the Ennis sisters, where Shandy Ganock, where everybody else are playing their shows in Newfoundland, and you cold call those venues. Do it yourself.
That's
man.
Right. Yeah, man, I appreciate it. I really do.
Right? And then what you do is, because you've done it, you can charge the boys 15% and you become the agent.
Exactly, yeah. You got to make work yourself, you know, Daryl?
That'll go over well, Andrew. Listen, buddy, great to talk to you. Keep in touch with upcoming events, will you?
Yeah, we will. Thanks for having me on.
No sweat, bud. Bye-bye.
Cheers.
Andrew Trembler with Half Handsome Production. We're at the end of another week. Happy May 2-4. Enjoy tomorrow, the holiday. Patty's off tomorrow, and I'm actually in. Looking forward to that morning show. Thanks for tuning in to the program. Had a ball. Oh, I will tell you right now, Jordan Keating is the winner of the tickets for the event with Team Broken Earth at DF Cook Recital Hall next week. Go see it. Leo Fury is directing those plays, and artists will know of Leo, who has been involved with the art community for years here. And Bob Dawn, the man with the lost fishing pole, he got a brand new book from Flanker Press. Zach's going to reach out to him. Zach, we're going after six, but that's okay, buddy. It is The Hunt for Joseph Rommel. Yes, by Frank Galgay. That book is Joseph Kearney and The Hunt for Rommel. That is the title. Thank you for that, Jack. Zach. As you can tell, folks, I'm at the end of a day. Stick a fork in me, turn me over, I'm almost done. I'll be watching Thrones tonight, and we can talk about it during Open Line tomorrow. Until then, folks, thank to Zach for all your help. God guard thee, Newfoundland and Labrador.